Testing, testing.
Thank God for deacons who say be thankful for. And last but not least, for the great Prince of Peace and the church that he gave his life for. For heartfelt salvation, for this great nation, so much to be thankful for. And last but not least, for the great Prince of Peace and the church that he gave his life for.
Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No. I could count them. There's not enough time, so I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Appreciate the Miller family being with us this morning. He told me when we first talked, he said, I don't really have any place to go Sunday morning, so we may just come Sunday morning. And I didn't tell him, but I was thinking, yeah, go ahead and come, all right? So I'm glad they were here. If one of you is missing the pick, I found it, all right? We'll just leave it right there. So there you go. We're picking on you, all right? All right, man, what a joy to be here. Good to see you. And good to have them. I enjoy that kind of music, you know. You say, preacher, I don't like it. Well, you probably have a tough time in heaven, too. But they ain't going to be singing that boom, 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 boom in heaven, all right? Just let you know that. So it'll be real music, not racket, all right? So, hey, we're not going to preach on that today, though. Romans chapter 12, if you would. Romans chapter 12 this morning. Hope you have your Bible. Those of you that are watching at home, get your Bible out and, you know, get focused on what we're fixing to do this morning. This important thing, the Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Somebody said, well, preaching's foolishness. It might be, but it pleases God. So we're going to try to please him just a little bit this morning. Romans chapter 12, just look with me today at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The first 11 chapters of the book of Romans are really centered on doctrine. And they do a wonderful job of teaching doctrine, a lot about the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of salvation. And it is wonderful. But we get to chapter 12. Chapter 12 kind of begins to focus to more of a, I guess, what you might call a practical application of the doctrine that has already been taught in the book. And I'll be honest with you, I found that when you get to these last chapters of Romans, there's just nowhere to hide. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, here's what I mean. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to find a place to hide in the first 11 chapters, because it's not. But man, it's impossible to hide from what comes in the last chapters. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, look with me, if you will, here in chapter 12. Just drop down to verse 10. The Bible says, be kindly affectioned one to another. So, well, what's hard there? Come on. You know what's hard there. We have a hard time with that verse, all right? It says that we're rejoicing in verse 12 in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. We ain't real good at that, all right? We struggle with it. Look at verse 14. I almost don't even want to read it. Bless them which persecute you. All right? I mean, we don't have an easy time of that, all right? Look at verse 18. If it be possible, and of course some of you say, well, that's my out right there. But it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Oh, mercy. Verse 1 of chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, I'm going to stop now, all right? You understand, there's no place to hide, all right? I mean, these verses, they just kind of nail us, all right? And when we get to this chapter, it really does. The truth of the matter is the born-again child of God just sort of has to grin and bear it, all right? Right, and beginning right here in chapter 12. But I want us to focus this morning on this one verse. Just this one verse this morning, and I'll be honest, I'm not really going to ask you to turn anywhere else in the Scripture. But I want you to focus right here, all right? Focus right here. I want you to notice as we go through here just a real simple sermon, 3 points. There's a plea, the presentation, and proper. And we're going to look at that this morning, all right? First of all, I want you to see the plea. The plea. The scripture says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. There's a simple plea. I beseech you. Hey, I'll be honest. Most of us preachers like to take verse 1 and verse 2 and thunder forth with them. But to be honest with you, that's not the way verse 1 comes. It's, I beseech you. You know, we preachers, we prefer to kind of pound it home, all right? But really, that's not it. To say I beseech you is more of a gentle plea. More of a gentle plea for someone to accept or to assent, if you will, to some viewpoint or to some action. I beseech you. It is when you're talking to someone, for instance, and you're trying to convince them, look, don't do that. Don't do that. Now, you're not yelling at them. You're not raising your voice, but you're pleading. You're pleading with them. And that's exactly what the Lord is doing through the Apostle Paul as he gave him these words. He's pleading. Now, he's pleading. You say, pleading with who? Well, I can take you back to chapter 1. And so yeah, he's talking to people that are born again. If you're saved, if you're on your way to heaven, he's making a plea to you. He's not pleading with you to get saved, but he's pleading with you that are saved. And I want you to notice the basis of that plea. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. Psalm chapter 136, that 136th psalm repeats a phrase in every verse. And just because I want to make sure I do it right, and I didn't write it down, I'm going to flip back there. And in Psalms 136, every verse ends with these words right here. I mean, everyone, it says, for his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy endureth forever. Paul said here, and the Lord says to you and I beseech you, and the basis is the mercies of God. The mercies of God. Hey, we're talking about something that's unending. We're talking about something that's unearned. We're talking about something that honestly is unbelievable. All right? The mercies of God. Oh, God's mercy has been bestowed upon us. And because of those mercies, the God that bestowed them pleased with us. And that plea is made. And because of those mercies, you ought to present your body to God. Why? Because of the mercies of God. Hey, I beseech you. The base is the mercies of God. But I want you to see this. This is a word that's in your Bible really fairly often, and it's one we have a tendency to overlook. I beseech you, therefore. Therefore. That's an important word. That's an important word. That word really ties what comes here with everything that's been written to us in the first 11 chapters of Romans. He said, I beseech you, therefore. Therefore, what a magnificent word. It's been said many times when you see the word therefore, you ought to look and figure out what it's there for. And that's good advice, a very good advice, all right? And it is a plea, if you will, that comes because of everything else that comes before in the book of Romans. Now, what's there in that book of Romans? Well, because you were, or maybe still are, a low-down, dirty sinner. That's what the Bible says in Romans 3, verse 10, for there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 of that chapter says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying because you and I were sorry, low-down sinners and headed for hell. Amen. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. a not just physical death, but eternal death in a place called hell. Hey, because that was us, we're sinners headed for hell. But wait a minute, the Lord Jesus Christ was sent. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh my. Hey, because of that, but I'm pleading because of that, because you were a sinner, you were headed for hell, because you've been saved, you've been born again, all right, because the Lord Jesus Christ came and he made a way for us to get to heaven. It's offered to us as a free gift, and the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. What a blessing. Well, it's hard to get. No, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, because of all of that, because of everything that's there, because God elected to save us, salvation that's free to us, because of all that, God's making a plea. Amen. God's making a plea to you and I as believers. He's making a plea. And I want you to notice the presentation of that plea. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's the presentation of the plea. Very simple. Present your body. Your body. You say, why would God ask for my body? I thought the Bible said in the Old Testament, book of Proverbs, the Bible says, my son, give me thine heart. It does say that. It does say that. But you know what? There's a lot of people that are willing, maybe, if you will, to in some ways give him their heart. We'll give a mental assent to God. But God says, I need your body. I want you to present your body. You see, all that man does is through the use of this body we have. All that we do. We don't do any mental gymnastics, okay? Now, we don't sit down and think hard enough and cause the fork to lift off the plate and slide under that mashed potatoes and gravy and then slowly levitate, and as we open our mouth, it comes to our mouth. No, our mental faculties do not cause that to happen. You try that, and you'll lose a lot of weight. A lot of weight. And it's not that mental faculty. It is we reach out with this hand that's attached to this body by this arm, that's controlled by this brain that we have, but it's the body that produces something. Hey, that's why God says, I want your body. I want your body. The offering of a body. Hey, notice, he doesn't say, I want your right hand. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I'd like to have your left foot. He said, I want your body. Because the presentation of the body is an indication that, hey, I'm all in. I'm all in. All right? I mean, the whole thing, the entire person is offered to God with nothing held back. It's me. All of me. The Lord is saying to you and I want all of you. I want every bit of it. I don't want you to hold something back. Don't hold out on me. He's saying, I want everything that you are. Listen, could I say this to you? God did not forgive part of you. He did not forgive part of your sin. And he wants you to give your complete self to him. He wants to come and say, here it is. This is my body. He said, I want you to present that body to me to serve me. Because that is the way you're going to serve him. You're going to serve him with his body. Now, there may be a lot of different kinds of service. But I dare say it involves the body. You can't serve him apart from your body. You say, well, I can pray, preach, air. Yes, you can. But really, that's not service for God. Serving God involves this body. The Millers were up here and they're playing these instruments, not using their mind, but their fingers and all, you know. They did all of that, all right? They did all that. Those of you who stand at the back door and hold the door open and say, come on in, welcome, you're using the body. Using the body. When you get out and you go up and down streets and you knock on doors, it involves the whole body. You can't sit in the car and send your arm up there with your fist and knock on the door, and when they open it, yell from the car, all right? No, you serve him with your body. I'm all in. But notice what the Bible says, and I'm going to tell you, this is the part that gets tough. It said, I want you to present it as a sacrifice. There's a great deal in the Bible about sacrificing. I was studying for this message, and I ran across a fellow that said there is the minimum number of blood sacrifice offerings, the minimum number of blood offerings required yearly by the nation of Israel was 1,287 every year. That was the minimum. He said, preacher, are you sure of that? I didn't check his math, but I trust him. I trust him. Hey, the truth is, God's people today, let's be honest, we don't know much about sacrifice. We really don't. Now, I hope you heard what I said. I didn't say you don't. I said we don't. The truth is, God's people today, we know very little about sacrifice. We would have an extremely difficult time if you were forced to come up and to say, when's the last time you really sacrificed anything for God? Sacrificed. Sacrificed. The truth of the matter is, most of God's people today, we live the Christian life of convenience. If it's convenient, we go to church. We go to church. If it's convenient, I will contribute. But, you know, if I've had a little extra this week that I wanted to entertain myself with, we're kind of like the government. The government likes to spend your money. Well, we as people like to spend God's money. And we come to him and we say, Lord, I can't give to you. I can't tithe. I can't give to missions. I spend it. Now, we always say, well, it was on necessities. I had to pay my rent. I had to, well, yeah, okay. What about that other stuff, though? What about that Dr. Pepper? Now, I know some of you people sitting in here, you're saying, preacher, that is a necessity. I understand. Maybe I should have said Mr. Pibb. Okay, I don't know. We should have went a different direction with that, all right? Hey, but that soft drink. Yeah, that trip to, all right, Starbucks. It's his fault, he said, all right? That trip to Starbucks, I found that other places make coffee cheaper. And some of you are going to say, it doesn't taste as good. I don't know. I've never had a cup that tasted good made anywhere, all right? So I'm out on it all the way around. But and by the way, wait a minute. I'm not preaching against coffee, and I'm not preaching against Dr. Pepper. One of those I enjoy myself, all right? But I'm saying to you, there's a lot of things we look at and say it's an absolute necessity, and we'll spend God's money for that. I'm just saying to you, we'd be hard-pressed to come up with a time where we could honestly say, preacher, that's when I sacrifice for God. I sacrifice. But here's what God's saying to us. He said, I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, we know the Bible says the Lord Jesus himself said we were to deny self and follow him. I can't help but wonder sometimes the reason we're such lousy followers is because we're not good deniers. We don't want to deny self. We're not wanting to sacrifice. We just don't know much about it. But here's the plea. The plea is, would you present your body? Wait a minute. Not just a sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Hey, those Old Testament sacrifices, they involved the death. Every one of them required the death of that animal, the blood being shed, all of that. Well, can I say this to you? Hey, the blood's been shed for us. Well, our Lord Jesus, while he was here on this earth, he offered up a better sacrifice than that of bulls and goats. He offered himself and that pure, spotless, precious blood of our Savior. Gave himself. Hey, we don't need to offer any more blood sacrifice. It is not a requirement that you have to die to sacrifice. Now, some of you think it'll kill you if you sacrifice. But it's not. That's not what God wants. God's saying to you, I want you to live. I just want you to live for me. I want you to live for me. We talk about it. I want your life to reflect me. I want your life to shine forth the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, remember those verses we read before we really got into the message? And I said, there's no place to hide. Those are verses. We start living those verses. We start living like Jesus Christ. Amen. We present to this world a real picture of Bible Christianity. Yeah, it's necessary. The Lord's saying his plea is, would you present your body a living sacrifice? Now, I want you then to notice these. The last words in these verses, what he's asking for is proper. It is totally proper. All right? He says holy and acceptable. All right? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To be a proper sacrifice, it must be holy. Must be holy. It needs to be clean. Needs to be pure. Read what God asked for in the Old Testament, those sacrifices. He said, you bring the lamb, you bring the best of your flock. Don't you bring the one that's lame. Don't bring the one that's got some kind of physical infirmity. How many of you here, just honestly, you love chicken fried steak? Would you just raise your hand? Me too. My hand's up. Could I say this to you? I'll never forget years ago going to a cattle auction in the stockyards of Fort Worth, and they were bringing in cattle and auctioning them off. And they'd bring in a cow, and I'm not going to describe the cow because I don't want to gross you out, okay? But I just want to tell you, things didn't look real good. Didn't look real good. If you looked at that particular cow, you would not have said, "Woo! I bet that'll be tasty on my plate." But I'll never forget my dad asking the guy we were there with that was kind of helping us, and who had worked in the stockyards for years and years. He said, "What are they going to do with that?" He said, "They'll make chicken fried steak out of him." He said, "What are you saying, preacher? That may be acceptable for chicken fried steak, but not for God. It's not what you offer him." He said, "I want it to be proper. It needs to be holy. Needs to be holy." Listen, God's saying to you and I, if you're going to serve me with your life, you're going to have a clean life. You're going to have a life where you work at would it not be spotted by sin. You're going to have to shed that blemish. You're going to have to shed that spot of sin. You're going to have to get rid of that. You're going to have to clean up that life. Hey, it means this. You can no longer straddle the fence, all right? You can no longer try to please God and try to please the world also. No, you got to make a decision. Make up your mind. It's going to be holy. It's going to be clean. Going to give it to him. Give it to him. Notice that next word, acceptable. Acceptable. We have a tendency to say this. I think it's good enough. I'm just going to confess before everybody here. There's some times I've told my wife, it's good enough. She said, it's not. So what'd you do? Well, I kind of like her. And she is a marvelous cook. And I wanted to keep the cook happy, so I made it acceptable to her. All right? Now, I would have taken less. She said, it needs to be better. You know what? She was right. She was right. When the Bible says acceptable, he's not talking about acceptable to you. He's not talking about what's acceptable to your friends. But the Bible says acceptable unto God. That's the sacrifice. He said, I want it to be acceptable unto him. Listen, God's not asking for your leftovers. He wants the best. He wants the best. I believe this with all my heart. He deserves the best. He demands the best. And He desires the best. That's what He's asking for. He said, I want it to be holy. I want it to be acceptable unto God. But then He comes back with this right here. Which is your reasonable service? Bless your heart, it's proper because it's reasonable. Nothing unreasonable about what God's asking. Amen. Nothing unreasonable. Well, I preach, I just think that's a bit much. Wait a minute. He kept your soul. He's going to see to it you never spend a moment in hell. And that's where you deserve to go. That's where we deserve to be. But He said, you'll never spend a moment there. I took your sin on me, and I took your sin to the cross. I did it for you. And I gave you salvation. And you're looking at me saying, you're unreasonable asking me to serve you? Unreasonable? No, it's every bit reasonable. He's not asking too much. Because of what He's done for us, it is reasonable for you and I. And it's reasonable for Him to ask us to present our bodies to Him, a living sacrifice. Can I just ask you this? The Lord's made His plea to you. As I've said, I believe the argument's made, it's completely proper for Him to ask for our bodies in His service. Question is, what's your answer going to be? What's your answer going to be? Well, not right now. Okay, so when? You ever notice how quickly time passes? How quickly time passes. I was looking on Facebook yesterday. Maybe I took a glance at it this morning. I had just a moment of time, and I had a reason to go in there. And I looked, and there was a preacher, a friend that I know, a guy that I know. And he said, I'm celebrating my 20th anniversary at this church. And I looked at that, and I go, you got to be kidding. Been 20 years? I remember when he took the church. 20 years? Unbelievable. Hey, you say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. We say not right now, and we keep saying not right now. Before long, it's a long time we've wasted. Long time we've wasted. Hey, I said God doesn't want your leftovers. He wants the best you've got. The best you've got. Now, you may be sitting here saying, preacher, it's too late. All I've got is leftovers. I hope I can explain this where you grasp what I'm saying. What you've got right now is not the leftovers. It's the best you've got right now. It's the best you've got right now. Now, you may have wasted a bunch of years before today, but all you have right now is the best you've got right now. Don't put that off and say, well, I'll wait a little while longer. No. Present your body a living sacrifice now. Decide now, hey, I'm going to clean this old life up. I'm going to, scrub off that old sinful blemish, that spot that's there. I know what it is, and I'm going to go to Him, and I'm going to get Him to forgive that sin, and I'm going to stop it. I'm going to put it away. I'm going to forsake that sin, and I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to live for Him today. What's your answer? Can I ask you this? Have you changed your opinion in the past? I said, what do you mean? Well, I mean, did you make a decision back yonder to serve Him, but you changed your mind along the way? Could I say maybe you need to go back to that original decision? It was the right one. It was the right one. It's just what is reasonable. It's just what's reasonable. Will you give it to the Lord today? Would you give it to Him? Now, I'll be honest with you, if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, everything I've said is unreasonable. Everything I've said. But I'll tell you this, if I were you, I'd think a little bit about where I was going. Because according to this book, you're headed for an eternity in hell. And I'm going to tell you this, it is unreasonable to think you've got a good brain and realize God offers you eternal life, and you reject that, say, nope, brother, go to hell. That's unreasonable. It's unreasonable. Would you take him as your Savior today? He'll save you because he said, whosoever will, whosoever will. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll save you if you'd come to him. Hey, you've claimed to be saved. But the truth of the matter is you know and God knows you're lost and you're headed for hell. Now, is that what you want? Is that what you want? You got a choice. Christian, you're here this morning. It's reasonable for God to say to you, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Why? It's your reasonable service. Would you do it? Would you stand with me this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed? As we stand together and we get ready for the invitation time, listen, God dealt with you and God's dealing with you. What about your life? What about your heart? He said, this is your reasonable service. But are you giving him what's reasonable? Are you giving to him what is reasonable today? Heavenly Father, Lord, would you help? Would you deal with every heart? Lord, not just the folks here in this building, but everyone that's listening. Would you just deal with every heart? Help us to face this question, to face this plea of God to us to present our body a living sacrifice. Lord, it's reasonable. Would you help us? Lord, help us to give you an answer this morning. And I pray, Lord, you'd help some folks step up and say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to give him myself to serve him. All that I have, all that I am, to serve him. Lord, if there's one that's lost, would you help them? Lord, if they're here this morning, would you help them step out, walk down this aisle, meet me here at the front and trust you today as their Savior? Dear God, if it's someone listening in at home, would you help them to just right there where they are, they'd just kneel right there, bow their head and ask you to forgive them for being a sinner and ask you, Lord, the best way they know how to save their soul. Lord, use the invitation today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.